So, I have a Ring application on my phone. We have Ring cameras at our house, and it was amazing some of the panic I saw today when the power went out. I got this 22-pound roast that has to be cooked. People, just the craziest things. It's like, when's the power coming back on? Come on, when it comes on. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Having said that, we welcomed into the world 2,000 years ago the light of the world. And his name is Jesus Christ. I've lived a long time now. And who said that? I've lived a long time now, and I can tell you that each year it appears to me less and less in our country and our culture that we even mention Jesus' name at Christmas time. And, you know, we just get caught up in all the wrong stuff. I really couldn't believe today, Mary Lou and I go out for breakfast. The power was still on. It went out during breakfast, but that was good. Couldn't see what you were eating. If you can't see, it's no calories. That's the rule. But coming home, we unfortunately have to pass a marijuana dispensary, and the line was around the building. People waiting to get in. And I'm saying, listen, Christmas is about Jesus. It's not about going to the liquor store, going to the marijuana dispensary and the parties. It's about Jesus. So we're going to celebrate him tonight. And I need your help. I thank Kelsey for coming from West Jersey to help us singing. Melissa is going to be with her. And here's the rule for tonight. It's going to be very informal. It's a simple rule. These are all familiar songs to you. Sing. If you don't like singing, grow up. Okay? Because in heaven, we're going to be singing. Not all the time, but, we're going to be singing. So, sing. So we're going to start off the service with an invitation. And the invitation is simple, and this happens to be one of my favorite hymns, and because I'm the pastor, I can choose that sometimes, right? And it's, O Come All Ye Faithful. Now listen, I'm so glad every one of you is here tonight. I really am. And there's something to be said about coming together to worship our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask the singers to come up. And we're going to sing that invitation. But this song has some good theology in it. That as you sing it, think about the words. The Bible has invitations all through it. And it's not invitations for good people. It's invitations for sinners like you and me. To come to a great God. Through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask for this first song, if you would just sing, please. Right, and stand.
And stand.
Hold him, pull.
seated. For our first scripture reading, Janine's going to come up and read the scripture for us. Who's got the remote? I do. Okay. This is your mic, Janine. Would you follow along this scripture? Because it leads up to the one we're going to be looking at tonight. The scripture that was just read to you, we did last Sunday as far as the service and the message was concerned. And it's quite a great scripture because we learn a lot about Joseph's character in there, in that he was in a tough circumstance along with Mary. And because of the visit from the angel Gabriel, they became convinced that this was God's will for them. So they did exactly what the angel commanded. But there's a couple of names in that passage that describes Jesus. Yesu, Jesus, means Savior. And we talked a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about that again a little later on. But you say, okay, he was Savior, but I don't need to be saved. Well, yeah, we do. Okay. And it's, you know, people will say, well, I haven't really done anything bad. Well, no, listen, we're born rebels against God. That's the sin nature we inherit from our, I'm going to talk to him when I get to heaven, Adam. That's our sin nature. We're born rebels against God. We don't pursue God. We don't do what God tells us to do. And yet Jesus came to save us. Save us from what? An eternity in hell. And he loved us so much he went to pay our penalty on the cross. He endured hell, the full wrath of the Father, so that you and I can be forgiven of our sins by faith in him alone, that you and I can be restored to a relationship with God the Father. So as we continue through the service, we're going to be looking at that a little bit more in detail, but we're going to look at it from the perspective of the Magi. Remember the Magi? The kings, okay? And we're going to see what we can learn from that. And, you know, a lot of times people will say to me, well, Pastor, you know, only weak people need Jesus. That's me. Well, Pastor, you're using Jesus as a crutch. No. Jesus gives me life. I don't need a crutch. He gives me life. And I'm just trying to set the table here to say candlelight service is not just about feeling good. It's a celebration of the love of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. Because God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son to die in my place, in your place, for you. Oh, that's quite a statement. So as we get ready to look at the Magi, I'm just going to ask if you would pray with me. I want to dedicate this service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we do that? Father, we thank you for the gathering tonight. We thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for all who turned out, Father. It's been a glorious night so far. And Father, we ask that all we say and do would glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Father, would you open our hearts and minds to what you have for us tonight? Would you please help us to cultivate even a deeper hunger for our Savior? Father, help us never to take our salvation for granted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This next song gives you kind of the history of the Magi. They're called kings, and rightly so. But we don't know if there were really three of them. Scripture never says that, by the way. But we'll talk about that in a moment. But there's a lot of good stuff in this song. You don't have to stand. So ladies, I'm going to have you going back and forth here. I'm sorry. Would you come and lead us through this? I don't know. Second reading, please. An incredible account, because if you remember, Elizabeth was well past childbearing age, and Elizabeth and her husband We're told they were going to give birth to a prophet, and his name was John the Baptist. And John's job was to proclaim and make way for the Messiah. Now, Elizabeth had already been pregnant for 3 months, and Mary was just newly carrying Jesus. So they kind of shared this special moment together, how God is using both of these women. Elizabeth, who was mature, and Mary, who was probably about 14. What a contrast, right? And so they kind of got together and caught up. And I'm sure they encouraged one another along the way. You just sang about the three kings. I guess it was about 5 or 6 years ago. I think it was during COVID, really, with that whole COVID stuff going on, that some of the writers in the modern times, some of the scientists, as a matter of fact, started to try to explain the Star of Bethlehem. How could this star just appear? How could it, this almost sounds corny. I'm just telling you what they said, right? They said, all the planets have to align a certain way in order to give that appearance. And you know, that couldn't happen for, you know, another 1,000 years. And they went through all of this nonsense. And not one of them ever said, all God had to do was speak it. That's all he had to do, was speak it. That star had special significance to Magi. Let me read this for you, and then we'll kind of go through it quickly. He says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, now this is after his birth in Judea, during the time of King Herod. King Herod was crazy, by the way. Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Those opening verses say a lot, and if you follow with me, we don't know where these Magi exactly came from, but it was somewhere east of Jerusalem. Could have been Pakistan, it could have been even India, it could have been Iraq, we don't know. And we don't know how many, because it doesn't say. But they knew Scripture. How do I know they knew Scripture? Because they knew enough to look for the star, which was foretold by the prophets of Scripture, that the Messiah was going to come into this world. The one who was fully God and fully human, coming into this world. And they were curious about it. Now, you're not talking about getting on the turnpike and traveling for an hour. You're talking about days of journey here. And you're talking about hearts that hungered to see the Messiah and to worship him. I had the privilege to get together with Dr. Fuji on Monday. And we were talking about how we need to cultivate in our lives, or ask the Holy Spirit to cultivate in our lives, an increasing hunger for Jesus. These Magi travel for days. I have people who don't like to travel 10 minutes to come to church. They had a hunger for the Messiah. They would have done anything to see this baby who they knew to be the Savior of the world. And you know what the kicker is? They weren't even Jewish. They were Gentile making this trip. You know, God sometimes uses people we least expect to teach us lessons. Isn't that true? I remember one time years ago, my son was kind of small. He was learning about driving, you know, as a little child. And he was looking at my speedometer. I was on the parkway, and I was exceeding the speed limit a little bit. And he looks at me and he says, Dad, should you be going that fast? What was I going to say? Yeah? Sometimes God uses people we least expect to teach us things we need to know. In this case, he used these three kings, pagan kings, who knew the scripture. I suspect that going to worship services wasn't a problem for them. That they had the hunger for Christ, and they knew that there was something special about coming together and worshiping the Savior of the world. How do I know that? When they saw his star, when it rose and have come to worship him, they went. They went. And it cost them. It cost them time. It cost them money. They were sacrificing. When, look at this. What a contrast. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. I told you Herod was crazy. He really was. Historians bear that out. And anybody Herod believed was going to threaten his power, his reign, he would just kill them. One of those was his wife. How would you like to be married to this man? Killed his own family. Killed people just kind of, you're a threat to me. I'm going to get you out of the way. So he was disturbed. That word disturbed in the original language means he was perturbed. You know what it means to be perturbed? It means you're almost out of control, right? And all Jerusalem with him. Why was Jerusalem angry? Because they were expecting the wrong type of Messiah. They were expecting the Messiah to come as a warrior, as a strong leader that would defeat the Romans and their enemies. So when they heard this, they said, this is nonsense. We got to put an end to this. So the king called together all the people's chief priests. These are the religious leaders and the teachers of the law. And he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler, and he will shepherd my people Israel. This is from the book of Micah, by the way. Excuse me. This was written hundreds of years before Jesus came on the scene. And the reason this is significant is because in the Jewish culture back then, many people believed nothing good can come out of Bethlehem. They were low-class Jews. That's what they thought. How can our Messiah come from there? Nothing good comes from there. Oh, it was prophesied by Micah. And then it goes on to say, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time when the star appeared. You say, yeah, Mary, maybe Herod is coming to his senses. No. No. He is so evil and so deceived, self-deceived. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. What a liar. He wanted to kill him. That's how mad this guy was. You know, before I leave that, let me say to you, there are plenty of people today in our culture who would rather kill off Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, how can that be? Well, because they don't want to talk about Jesus. Jesus is a threat to them. Why is he a threat? Because Jesus comes forward with a message. First of all, he says, look, I know you're a sinner, but I love you. And you have no way out. If you stay in your sin and die in your sin, you're going to suffer for all eternity at a place called hell. It's a real place. But Jesus says, I came to save you. All you need to do is put your trust in me. Repent of your sin and put your trust in me. Oh, yeah, okay. And more I hear, Jesus, I don't need you. I don't need you. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. It's a shame. It really is a shame. Here you have the religious leaders who were actually too lazy to go see for themselves. It took three, I don't know if there were three, it took the Magi to come miles to search and worship. And the religious leaders didn't want to have anything to do with it. Well, God knew what was going on. It says, after they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Listen, this is God's guidance, right? Remember in the Old Testament, they talked about the Shekinah glory of God, the light that led them through the wilderness, the light that filled the temple. This was the light of the glory of God because God came in the flesh in all his glory. And that babe in the manger was God himself. They knew enough. And they said when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. What I would give to have people come into worship, overjoyed. We're here to worship our Savior. We're here to join our voices together. We're here to say how wonderful God is, because we don't deserve to be saved. Jesus did it all for us. Oof. On coming to the house, this is not the manger now, okay? Because this was after Jesus was born, but it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother. They found the Savior. Look at the wording here. They bowed down and worshiped him. I love that. These are kings. And they saw this babe in the manger and they knew who he was. And they bend the knee and bow down and worship him. Because they knew he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to notice they didn't worship his mother. They worshiped him. Then, it cost them more. But they gladly gave. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, it's a lot of speculation. And this is where they get three kings from, because there were three gifts. There could have been two kings, there could have been four kings, I don't know. But they brought these three gifts specifically. And nobody really knows why, so we take our best guess. And here's the best guess that I happen to agree with. Doesn't mean it's right, you can research this on your own. Gold usually stands for royalty. Kings, they have gold. Does anybody know what frankincense was used for? Anybody? Incense for what? Worship and prayer. Worship and prayer. They used to burn it, and it symbolized the prayers and the worship going to God. And what about the myrrh? To embalm, foreshadowing the the death of Christ on the cross. This is an incredible scene when you think about it. It took three pagans to trust God and to trust his word. They saw the star, they responded. And when they saw the Savior, there was no doubt in their mind. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he bowed the knee. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Told you God was in control, right? They said, in a dream, the Magi were told, Herod is going to wants to kill this child. Don't be bothered with him. Just go home by another route. And I'll tell you a little bit about what happens, and you can read on for yourselves, but unfortunately, Herod was so crazy that when the Magi didn't return, he ordered all the male babies under the age of 2 years old in that area to be murdered. So this way, he could get rid of this king of the Jews. Well, it didn't work, because God had instructed Joseph to take his family down to Egypt. Wow. This is not just a story. This is history. This is the history of God's salvation, his gift to you and me. This is the history of people who were genuinely looking and hungered for the Savior. And God in his glory leads them to a baby in a manger. My question is, would we bow and worship him? My question is, will we ask the Holy Spirit to give us an increasing hunger for our Savior, a deepening love for him, a love for his word? This Sunday, if we don't get snowed out by a ShopRite forecast, we're going to be talking about the word becoming flesh and what that ought to mean for us. Listen, you can't separate the word of God from Jesus. You can't separate the word of God from the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about what that ought to mean in our lives. We are so privileged that every one of us can have one of these. We're so privileged. There's countries where you would be killed for that. There are countries where passages have to be smuggled in, and the people have to memorize them and destroy them, lest they be found with them. But make no mistake, God's glory will show through. And the Savior will not be silenced. His word will not be silenced. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to do our offering. And tonight's offering in its entirety goes to the free lunch program through the United Methodist Church here in town. They work with the school system and they vet all the children. And last year, it was a record year. 263, I think, children, something like that. And you guys were great. This church provided a lot. And of course, there were merchants who provided and all. However, the demand was so great, they ran out of funds. So we would like to give tonight's offering to them. If you feel led to take part in that, that would be wonderful. I know that people who aren't able to be here today have already donated to that. So whatever you put in the plate will go directly to them. So if I can get a couple of people to help with the offering, please. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together, and thank you for the opportunity to help those less fortunate. Father, some of us know what it is to be without food. Some of us know what it is to be without hope. And so, Father, through the generosity of your people, we would like to provide both food and the hope of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that you bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The tradition of putting lights on the Christmas tree stems from Jesus being the light of the world. And the Christmas tree was supposed to remind us of that, that in the old days they used to put real candles on. I don't know if you know that. Don't do that. You want to keep your house for a while, right? But they used to put real candles on the tree for the simple reason that it wasn't just for decoration, it was to remind us that this is all about Jesus, the light of the world. So I'm going to ask Kelsey and Melissa to come up, please. But as they come up, I just want to ask, does anybody want to share anything before we go into the candlelight portion of the service? Does anybody want to give thanks or share anything? Don't be silent. Please, we don't. Go ahead. Okay. And no more aches and pains, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we won't have to go on diets, right? Good word. Anybody else with a word of praise? No, please don't be bashful. Yes. Amen. Good word. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, Doc. Yeah. And you're one of them. You're one of them. Yeah, so if you have any aches and pains, see Doc afterwards. He'll be able to help you. He's an ache. And we always tell him he's a pain, but he's a good guy. Thank you. Good word. Anybody else? Yeah, Chip. Well, we're going to put Bonnie up for sainthood. How's that? We're just glad you're here, Chip. We're glad you're here. I know Butch won't say anything, but we're glad he's here, too. He went through a rough time. Kevin, you know, we're glad that you're here. Where's Margie? She's sitting right next to you. Margie's had her ups and downs also. But she's one of those medical professionals that we take for granted. So we thank you, Margie, for all that you do. And then we got Kelsey, right, who's waiting to shoot me with a needle, I think. But she's a medical professional. We take a lot for granted, don't we? Don't we? Our families. Yes, Marilyn. All right, say that, I can't. Yes, he did well, he is home. He did well. So I think we're gonna rename this place Crossbridge Community Hospital. But we've seen miracles here. We have seen miracles. I also wanna thank the Tuesday Prayer Warriors. We have our prayer meeting in the morning, and we pray for a lot of these needs. And we've seen God work miracles. And, you know, listen, God's answers are always right. There's sometimes he brings healing, sometimes he chooses not to, but for his reasons. And we just got to trust him through the process, but we pray. We pray. And I know it's been a month already, but we had our Christmas cantata, right, which was excellent. I don't know if you, I don't know who can follow it, but I see who sees it, and there's been like a lot of people watching that cantata all over the state, and I know it's had some effects, so we're grateful for that also. Anybody else want to share real quick? No? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So we did it the end of November. So, and God knew what he was doing, right? I need two people to help light other people's candles, if you would be kind enough to come up for that. If you want, bring your candle, or you take one of these, you can light it. All right? Get Tommy. I get intimidated if I stand between these two guys. I'm the shortest one here, so. I appreciate you doing this. Jesus is the light of the world. And without his light, this world would be totally dark beyond your imagination. We celebrate the light. So as we come around and light your candles, please be very careful. We'll start the candlelight portion of the service. We'll be singing. Just don't spill any wax on you. I don't care about any place else, but don't spill any wax on you. So, gentlemen, would you light the candles? They forgot you, Melissa.
Silent night, holy. us, Lord, at thy birth.
There really can't be any true joy without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Joy to the world.
To the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men Hark!
Set all things right our prayer in the meantime is that the world will look to God and just beg God to let his face shine on us so that the world may know Jesus lives. For this last song, I'm going to ask you if you would stand and hold your candles high. Use the mic. It'll be up there, Doc. This is a benediction that Paul wrote at the near the end of his letter to the Romans. This is our prayer for all of us tonight, Doc. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. You guys were wonderful tonight. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out. Thank you for singing and participating, and thank you for worshiping our great God together. Be safe. We will be here Sunday, barring any blizzard. And I would urge you to come back Sunday. We're going to be talking about the Word became flesh.